If you take your Bibles this evening and turn over to the book of Colossians, we will continue our study in chapter 3. In the past weeks, we've looked at the relationship between a husband and wife, and a wife and a husband, and husbands and wives, and fathers and mothers to their children. And tonight, we're going to, in context, look at these domestic relationships as it moved into slavery. Many of the homes in that day had slaves. So you had domestic slaves, and you also had slaves that were slaves of the Roman government. And so the Lord Jesus, through the Apostle Paul, brings a message to these bond servants. Let's look there in Colossians 3, verse 22 through 25. Bond servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. You see a cousin verse to this. We see this was written to the church there in Ephesus, the church to the you see Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5. Paul is telling the same thing to those slaves. Be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart as to Christ. MacArthur makes a great point here as he studied this section of Scripture, and it makes so much sense to us as we consider it tonight. You don't see the Lord calling these people to rise up and revolt against slavery. Now, none of us would agree that slavery is right and okay, but that's not the message of that day. MacArthur says, undesirable as slavery was, the New Testament does not promote or sanctify or sanction revolt of slaves. And you can really read more about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 20 through 24. Had it done so, many would doubtless have flocked to the anti-slavery cause and not to Christ. Do you see the point that he's making? That there would have been many, many, many followers of Christ. Many slaves to get out of their slavery would have come to Jesus Christ. We're talking about physical slavery right now. But Christ had a better plan. He was wanting to free them up spiritually. So he's not talking about getting them out of the situation that they're in. He's talking about them being victorious in that situation. You see the difference? Now, how might this apply to us today? Well, the closest thing that we would have to this today is probably the relationship that you have to your boss. And you might be in a situation or a position that you just can't stand. The Lord's not saying you have to quit tomorrow. He's saying that he's allowing that for some reason so that you can have victory in the position that you find yourself in. Bond servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Under Roman law, the slave was a thing, T-H-I-N-G, a thing to the law, in the eyes of the law. There were no codes of work ethics. They didn't have times or unions. You didn't work from 8 to 5. You worked as long as your owner or master desired for you to work. And when you got sick or you became ill or old, you were just turned loose to die. Slaves did not have the right to marry. If they did perhaps choose to cohabitate, even the children from that cohabitation became property of the slave owner or the master. All the rights belonged to the master and all the duties to the slave. One historian put it this way. The slave had a menial dead-end job. They assigned him tasks that no one else wanted. The dumb work. The dirty work. The dangerous work. They called him out at all hours of the day and night to satisfy the whim or whims of the master. Whether he even lived or died mattered little. This was slavery in the first century. And that's all that they knew. But this message from Paul by the Holy Spirit of God, let these men, let these women know that they may not have mattered to their earthly master, but they mattered greatly to the heavenly master. Paul was redefining this occupation. He was trying to let these slaves know that they ultimately did not work for their earthly master, but they were serving a heavenly master. He wasn't changing the scenery. He was just helping them sustain themselves in the midst of the slavery. So if you're taking notes this evening, the first truth I believe God wants us to see is workers, slaves, should obey because it pleases God. Notice they're not with eye service. Since slaves don't be obedient just when your master's around, those of us that have jobs, we aren't to be obedient. We aren't to be good workers just when the boss is in the room. No, he's saying not with eye service. We are to do it because it pleases the Lord that we do it. I remember in my basketball career in college, we had a head coach and about four assistants, and you could always feel their eyes on you. I can remember having three-a-day practices and just trying to, how do you hide on a basketball court? And to make matters even worse, you know what the coach did? He put up a couple of video tape cameras and he would tape the whole basketball court. There was no place to hide. That's the thought here. You don't do it because somebody is watching you. You don't run hard. You don't play hard because there's a video machine on you. You do it because God is watching. You're doing it because you want to please Him. Notice there in verse 23, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. That's the call that God has placed on our life. Do you know what an oxymoron is? Do you know actually that is an actual Greek word? The word oxy is made up of two words. Oxy means sharp. And moron, we even have transliterated that into the English language, means dull. So oxymoron is sharp dull. Let me give you an example of a few of these. An oxymoron could be used in this way, and you may have used it before, in these phrases. Plastic glasses. Do you have some of those? What about these? And you don't have to say if you do or not. Tight slacks. What about this one? Government organization. If you're an Apple user, what about this one? Microsoft Works. What about this one? We're in a fine mess. Or I've joined a work party. Or I received a tax return. Or we're in a pretty ugly situation. Or I'm going on a family vacation. I'm clearly confused. That was a minor miracle. What about this one? Cafeteria food. Someone might encourage you to act naturally. And those are funny things. I mean, we can have fun with those. Jumbo shrimp is another one that comes to mind. Same difference. I mean, you can go on and on of these oxymorons. But can I tell you the most tragic of all oxymorons that I can think about? Would you mind writing this one down? The most tragic of the oxymorons that I could imagine is this one. Lazy
Christian. Lazy Christian.
Now, we all might have a tendency to be lazy, but we see as we come right out of the chute here that bondservants should obey because it pleases the Lord, not because somebody's watching them. If you have a secular job or if you have a religious job or if you have a job, you shouldn't be doing it just for the paycheck. It might not be enough for you, or it might not be what you want it to be, or the situation might be really bad that you find yourselves in. That's not why we do what we do. We do it unto the Lord. And if you'll start working with that understanding and with that mindset, your job will become a ministry and a blessing. Harry Ironside, the pastor at Moody Memorial Church in Chicago, Illinois, used to tell his students of a maid who was asked how she knew she had really become a Christian. And this is one of the things that God changed about her. She said, "I know that I'm a Christian today because I now sweep under the rug." It changes you. You don't sweep around the rug. Now you aren't just serving the master of the house. You're not serving IBM. You're not serving whatever company you work for. Now you're serving the Lord, and you don't cut corners and I don't cut corners. So we don't do it with eye service. Notice this. We do it heartily. Excuse me. That word heartily means with your whole being, with your soul. Now, when is the last time you have worked or served in that capacity? With all your soul. Ecclesiastes 9:10 reminds us that whatever we do should be done with all of our might. I mean, I talk all the time about letting Jesus Christ empower you, and certainly that is part of it. But the other part of it is working with these muscles. Working with the strength that God has given your body, whether it might be limited or extreme, we are to put everything into what God has called us to do. And anything less is sinful, and we're going to see in a moment, is going to be recognized by God, and He is going to deal with us if we don't. We just learned a few months earlier, Colossians 3:17, we are to do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. What if someone turned something in for you, put your name on it, you were responsible for it, and they did a poor job? But you were going to be graded with that, or you were going to be paid for that, or whatever. And they did it in your name, but it wasn't to your ability, and it certainly wasn't to your standard, and it wasn't to your liking. How would you feel about that? Well, that's the thought here, that we are doing this in the name of the Lord. It's as if we're turning it in, not just to Him, but we're turning it in for Him in the name of the Lord. Now, think about how that would change the way you serve in the capacity that you serve, whatever your job might be. And I think we wouldn't be doing damage to the Scripture if we even talked about our service in the church. This is talking about doing things unto the Lord. Heartily. With your spirit, with all of your strength. And notice there in 1 Corinthians 10:31, to the glory of God. So not with eye service, fully, completely, heartily with your soul, as unto the Lord and not to men. You aren't doing this to impress your boss, although your boss will be impressed. If you're giving your life to the Lord and you're serving the Lord with gladness and you're doing all that you can to do this with your physical strength, also with the strength the Holy Spirit will give you, also understanding, as we've just said, we're not doing it because of eye service, we're not doing it for men, but for the Lord. You and I must agree that your boss will be blessed, the company will do better, God will be glorified. That's what we see that God is saying to the slave. And you're not slaves. You know, there's a biblical principle, a biblical law, the greater to the lesser. If God can save us, which would be the greatest thing, that means that he'll also provide all of our needs, right? That's a biblical principle that runs through the Bible. Seek God's kingdom first and his righteousness, then all these other things will be added unto you. Well, if this is talking about slaves whose masters are abusing them, whose masters aren't taking care of them to the point when they get old, they're not taken care of, they don't retire, they just let them die, then can't we also say, because of this biblical principle, the greater to the lesser, that whatever job that you're in right now has got to be less than slavery? So how much more should we be serving the Lord? Well, we see workers should obey because it pleases the Lord. Secondly, in verse 24, we see workers should obey because they will be rewarded. Notice this, knowing that from the Lord. The question is, who are you working for? If you're working for men, you know who you're going to expect your reward to come from? And Paul's saying, don't expect it from man. Expect it from knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. I tell you, if we get a hold of this and we grasp this, it will change your attitude. And you'll look forward to getting up in the morning, knowing that you're not going to work for your boss any longer. You're going to work for the Lord. See, this was especially a blessing to the slave because he had no inheritance. He had absolutely nothing to look. He could work all of his life and then die and then and be buried. If he were lucky to be buried, he didn't have anything. He could work all of his life and not receive anything. You know what Jesus Christ is telling us? That you and I are going to receive an inheritance. Can you imagine a slave hearing that? That it was not going to come in this life, but it was coming in the next life. The joy that must have filled their heart to know that in the Roman law, a slave could inherit nothing. But Jesus Christ said that they would have a reward of a wonderful inheritance. Someone once said it this way, being a diligent servant, pleasing your master rather than a man pleaser, may open doors of opportunity and witness that you never dreamed of. You may think you're doing a menial job, nobody's noticing, but they are. It's your testimony. It's what God has given you to do. God, if we serve a sovereign God, wherever you are right now is exactly where God has planted you. I read a story this week in John Galbraith's autobiography entitled A Life in Our Times. He talks about the devotion of his housekeeper, Emily Gloria Wilson. And listen to what he writes. He said, it had been a wearying day for me, and I asked Emily to hold all my phone calls while I take a nap. Shortly thereafter, the phone rang. Lyndon Johnson was calling from the White House. Emily answered the phone, and Johnson said, get me Kenneth Galbraith. This is Lyndon Johnson. She answered, he is sleeping, Mr. President, and he told me that he did not want to be disturbed. Well, wake him up, Johnson said. I want to talk to him. No, Mr. President, she said. I work for him, not for you. Well, as he writes in his autobiography, Galbraith says this, when I called the president back, he could scarcely control his pleasure. He said, tell that woman I want her here. I want her in my White House. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. What if we'd have received the phone call? See, God blesses our obedience. God blesses our desire to please not just the person we're working for, but we are to please. We are to be obedient, as we've already heard, in all things. And this lady was. And she left the Galbraith home and ended up at the White House. Now, we're not talking about going to the White House. We're talking about going to something better than the White House. You want things to change for you? You want a better job? Well, do a better job in what you're doing right now. Look at this Bible principle there in Matthew 25:21. The Lord has said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things." Can I tell you, you're not going to be a ruler over many things until you get the little things right? Those of you that are just starting out, you're in high school or you're in college and you've already got big, huge plans. Can I tell you, there are a lot of little things that you have to do, that you must do. It's a biblical principle. God's not going to allow it. If you're not faithful in the little things, then He's not going to put you in charge over the bigger things. It might be the very thing that's holding you back. What have we seen tonight? What does this scripture say? Well, first of all, workers should obey because it pleases God. Secondly, workers should obey because God will reward you for it. And then thirdly, workers should obey because they will be justly punished if they don't. Look there in verse 25. "But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done. And there is no partiality." The word partiality, let's look at what that word means. Partiality means favoritism, distinction, bias, conditional preference. The word denotes a biased judgment which gives respect to rank, position, or circumstances instead of considering the intrinsic conditions. That's what it means to be partial. You overlook everything. You might make a decision on somebody's appearance. You might make a favorable decision based on who that person knows or what family they come from. But notice what Jesus Christ said. There'll be none of that. There'll be no favoritism, no distinction, no bias, no conditional preference, no consideration based on respective rank or position or circumstances. He said, "We do wrong, we're going to pay for doing wrong, and there's no partiality." Paul writes the same thought to the Galatian church, Galatians 6:7-8. "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, he'll also reap." That's the law of the harvest. "For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Please don't forget that biblical truth. There are those that would speak in your ear softly, that might even wear ecclesiastical garments, that says, "Listen, God's not about that today. That if then God is a God of the Old Testament." No, that if then God is the God of today. So what's the message that you've heard tonight? What is God saying to you? Well, wherever you are, you to work hard and be obedient because it pleases God. Wherever God has you right now, you are to be obedient and you are to work as hard as you can because you will have a reward one day. And thirdly, if you do not, you'll not receive the reward. Matter of fact, you'll be justly punished. As we close our time this evening, where does this truth find you? What do you need to do to change your life, to come in line with this truth this evening? Maybe you're a lazy Christian. God's calling you to repent. Maybe you're a discouraged Christian. You're waiting for people to pat you on the back, and the word tonight is telling you, don't wait for that. That your pat on the back and your reward is going to be coming from God. And if you have a choice between the pat on the back from a human source or an inheritance from an eternal source, wait for the inheritance. Let's go before the Lord and let's just allow Him to speak to us based on the word that we have heard from Him tonight. Oh Lord, may we never forget who we serve, and may we never forget why we serve. And Lord, for every one of us tonight, I pray that we've made the necessary corrections, the attitude adjustments, Lord, the decisions that we need to make in order to walk into our place of employment tomorrow, thanking you, our sovereign God, for that job, for that work. Lord, thanking you that that is our ministry. And Father, we are to look not for a reward from our earthly boss, but our heavenly one. So thank you, Lord, for this wonderful reminder today. And Lord, we just want to open these altars. Some may want to pray. Some may want to come down for just a few words of encouragement from Daniel or myself. Someone might have been moved in other ways. Lord, your word does not return empty, but accomplishes all that you desire for it to accomplish. And we look forward to that fruit that we might see in the midst of our church family as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.